If you could pick one show that you would be watching when you died, what would that show be?
Well, this is a very pleasant conversation.
I know. It's so awkward, right? It was all over the news yesterday, and I can't stop thinking about it. Twofold. One, Bob Barker left a lot of his fortune to charity, which is great.
And not surprising at all.
Not surprising, no. A lot of animals, rescues, great stuff. You
Spay
know?
And neuter your pets. Thank you very much, Bob Barker. Rest in peace.
Yep. But also, it was reported that he spent his last moments watching Two and a Half Men. Who knows if it's real or not? But all I kept thinking about was, that was what you were watching in your last moments, Two and a Half Men?
Well, it's not surprising to me that he's like a sitcom guy. I heard, you know, he was watching, you know, Price is Right as well. I'm sure that, you know, he was enjoying that. But he was a daytime television guy. So that doesn't really surprise me that he would spend his time watching some syndicated stuff.
Yeah, reruns of Two and a Half Men?
It wouldn't be my choice.
Right. So if it was your last days.
Okay.
And you knew they were your last days.
Oh.
What would be the show that you're watching?
This is actually easier for me than you might think. So I want you to close your eyes.
Okay.
Okay, and just relax. Think about how relaxing this is right here.
For the very first time, we look back at our own planet.
Oh.
Sir David Attenborough could talk to me about literally anything on this planet. Cheetahs reproducing, space, the dawn of man, a goat being eaten. I mean, anything.
I would be dead like 15 minutes into the first show. I'd be like, just take me now, God. I'm good.
Because you were bored or so soon?
So bored.
Oh, like, no.
That's what you want to watch? I'm the complete opposite. If it was my last few days, I don't want to be relaxing to that guy talking about goats.
That guy? I mean, he's a legend.
I want to hear this.
I'm going to take everyone, your B-level sitcom stars, your reality TV writers. When I'm done with you, you're going to be repping Sideshow Freaks.
One of my favorite characters of all time.
Wait a minute. Is that Entourage?
It's Entourage. Entourage, that was Ari Gold. But Entourage was my favorite show of all time. It was fast. It was funny. It was aggressive. It was like at the peak of HBO. Mm. I used to look forward to that show more than anything else.
You know, Jeremy Piven, very talented, but also a reputation as not a nice man.
So lots of stories I have. Like, I loved him.
Yes.
And I loved that entire show. But I heard that he was not nice. And
no.
I remember I had bought tickets to see him on Broadway. And I remember that he canceled that night because he, quote unquote, had some bad sushi. And I remember standing out the theater and being so disappointed. And, you know, they gave us our money back, which because I was like, they had a stand in. I'm like, no, like I'm here to see Jeremy Piven.
Right.
This terrible show. So I didn't do that. One of my good friends met him and she said, everything you heard is true. He was not nice.
Yeah.
He's very conceited. And I wonder what's happened to him in his career at this point. What is he doing now?
You know what? He is the child star of a pair of very talented people, too. So,
oh, he's a Nepo baby.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Again, a brilliantly talented guy, but a terrible reputation. I'm just thinking to myself is like, listen, you know, if it's your final moments, you're going to be up there at the gates pretty soon, right? And you're going to need somebody maybe to vouch for it. You've done a lot of good things in your life, Anna, but if they think you were spending your last moments doing a homage to Jeremy Piven, it might, you know, hurt your chances.
No, but
basically.
I mean, but there's the rest of them too. Johnny Drama,
okay.
Vince, Turtle, like all
well,
that.
All of those other people have reputations as being nice people.
I follow them all on Instagram now, and they're all doing great. They're all fine, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But that'd be the show that I watch when I died.
I mean, you sure
can no longer be taken for granted.
Sure you don't need any?
Oh, good Lord, take me now.
I mean, that's a glacier coming down, and
no.
He just makes it sound so soothing
no,
when
I'm
he
good.
Says it.
I'm good. The writer's strike is the greatest thing to happen to Cameo since COVID.
Yeah, it's going to be the worst thing to happen to our fall and winter programming, though. Ugh.
Because the writer's strike continues, a lot of the celebrities that got off of Cameo after COVID are going back now to make that extra cash.
Mm.
Now, if you forgot what Cameo was, I don't blame you because it kind of went MIA for a while.
Yeah, I mean, because most of the messages are notoriously bad. By the way.
Well, it's true. So you basically pay a celebrity to make you a personalized video and they send it to you within like 24 hours or something like that. And there was a hot minute during COVID when nobody was making money that there were real stars there. There were real celebrities that were doing it. And now, because of the strike, some of those celebrities are going back and it's making news. Like this lady.
Hi, Theo. It's me, Fran Drescher. Chase told me that you were feeling a little down in the dumps, and he thought it would be a nice idea if I was able to reach out to you and give you a few words of encouragement.
Who's like, let me get Fran Drescher on the line?
Well, I mean, I feel like, again, her star has kind of risen during this time, as she is the president of the SAG union, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, she's the one that led the strike announcement.
Do you want to hear her advice to get him out of the dumps?
Not necessarily, but I mean, if you're going to play it.
Anyway, this is one of my specialties, so I'm very happy to impart with you how much discipline it takes to be in gratitude each and every day, even when in the depths of despair.
What are you talking about, lady?
She's getting deep, man. Yeah. She's giving the word salad and keeping the positivity.
How much do you think that cost?
$50?
$1,500.
$1,500 for a message of positivity from Fran Drescher? No. No, thank you.
She was the nanny.
Wow, I can't even believe that.
How much would you pay for this?
Hey, yo, check this out. This is Ice-T representing on this new situation called Cameo, okay? So what you do is you get at me, you book me, and I send a shout-out to one of your good friends. So book me. I'll handle your business for you on Cameo. Let's make it do what it do.
Let's make it do what it do.
I love it. $850 for Ice-T, and I'm a big fan.
$450.
So it's a bargain then.
It really is.
I mean, I would take that.
Yeah. Love boy bands? How about this guy?
Well, happy birthday to me, because I get to wish you a happy birthday now. Yes, I have joined the Famio here at Cameo. So swipe up, click on this link, and start sending me your request right now, just in time for En Cinco de Mayo. Oh, yeah.
It's Lance Bass.
Oh, my gosh. That's Lance Bass?
Yeah.
Gosh, how much is Lance Bass getting? Oh, $1,000?
$299.
$299. I mean, yeah. That's really a bargain.
Yeah. And then there's the celebrities that are back there basically begging for work.
Okay.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is your man, Montel Jordan. Listen, don't be that girl. Don't be that guy. It's Christmas. Don't show up empty-handed. I got you. I got the perfect gift. Go to my Cameo profile. I'm going to hook you up.
Guess.
$200.
$100.
$100.
Yeah. But this is the one that I think everybody wants.
I'm terrible at this game.
Hey guys, Kenny G here, and I'm really excited that Cameo is connecting us like this. This is really cool. I am ready, willing, and able to send out beautiful messages for you and also beautiful melodies for you to those people that are special to you.
Such a nice man.
Let's stay connected.
Let's stay connected, Kenny G.
This is so nice, and remember we saw photos of his house? Where, like, the Bezos were staying for a minute while their house was being done.
All right, how much do you think Kenny G costs?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, to pay for that house, he's got to be getting
$300. $350.
$350. That was pretty close
there.
That
was worth it, I think, because he plays the saxophone.
Yeah, playing a nice melody.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 The things that irk you. You see somebody do something or say something or post something, and even though you're not supposed to judge them, you do because it drives you crazy, and that's all you need to know about them. 1-800-330-9999. Kayla, that's all I need to know about you.
If you wear crop tops and you're over the age of 22, that's all I need to know about you.
22's the cutoff now for crop tops? What if your pants are really high?
What if you're J-Lo?
Well,
I mean, what if you have 3% body fat?
J-Lo's the exception to every rule, I think.
I'm not hating on anybody. Like, if you got the physique, you know what? If you got the confidence, too, I don't care.
No, if you look good and you feel comfortable, rock it.
Hell, if you look bad and you feel comfortable, rock it.
Yeah, whatever. Like, I don't know if I buy the 22 thing. I do think it's weird when I see grown women out in just a sports bra. I feel like it's just strange.
When I see that, I feel like they just stopped jogging. Just now. Yeah. Like if I'm at Walmart, if I, you know, whatever it is, I feel like they jogged to the store.
I shouldn't call it a sports bra. I mean, like a bandeau. If you're wearing just a bandeau.
I don't know what that is.
It's just like it looks like a bra, but it's a shirt, you know?
Okay.
And I don't think anybody should wear those. It doesn't matter what age.
Yeah, but that's like fashion right now, yeah. Right? Or wasn't it the past year, yeah. I think? Yeah.
Like if you want to put like an open shirt over it, then maybe, okay, never mind.
But you're
okay.
Right. You know, with the bra type looking one, I don't feel like you were just jogging.
Yeah.
You know, if you're wearing a sports bra, I feel like immediately you jogged to get there.
Yeah. So, all right. So according to Raven, if you're wearing a sports bra and you just finished jogging, then yes, you can go into Walmart. But if you're wearing a bandeau, no. Is it bandeau? Bandeau?
I don't know.
Who cares?
I wouldn't
matter.
Know. I'm also not a jogger.
James, that's all I need to know about you.
Look, if you spend all your money on barbecue equipment, but you're complaining that you don't have enough money to give your kids what they need, that's all I need to know about you, sir.
James, that is very specific.
But they're crazy about their barbecue. It's just, oh, I gotta outdo the other people's barbecue, Kansas City or Texas. But but I can't pay for my kids' braces. What's that about?
I mean,
they just really like smokers. And,
I mean, right. All right. Maybe your kid doesn't want braces.
Great teeth are important, more important than brisket. I got to tell you that.
All right, dentist. Mm. Thank you for calling.
Jessica, that's all I need to know about you.
If you shoplift regularly, that's all I need to know about you.
Regularly?
I mean, how about if you shoplift at all?
Period. Right.
Like if I ain't hungry, I'd be pressed to find a time where it makes sense unless you're starving, right?
Some people just get that thrill out of that, and I'll never understand it. Like,
you know,
that
the amazing
adrenaline.
Thing to me is when somebody that's well-to-do, because oftentimes those are the ones.
Yes.
They feel like they're beyond reproach or whatever. I mean, again, I've seen people do it in grocery stores, but that's not even what I have in mind. Like at a clothing store, you know, when we're stealing a shirt or a blouse or something like that, and you're wearing, you know, $5,000 worth of jewelry, like it doesn't make much sense, right? Let's just say not shoplift at all. Hey.
2 days. That's how long it took for one of my very good friend's son to be sent to the principal's office.
Well, I mean, what grade?
Sixth grade.
Oh, well, I mean,
I feel like that's when boys are the worst.
It's kind of that
sixth
time.
Grade, right?
Yeah, anything after fourth grade, I was going to say from there to about, you know, freshman or sophomore year. That's those are your big windows.
I feel like that's when the principals see the kids the most is like during like sixth grade, fifth grade, right?
Yeah.
Producer John Raven, you know, it's back to school time. And when she called me, she's like, 2 days. And that's all it took. Yeah. 2 days.
Well, they're pushing their boundaries, right? They're figuring out what they can get away with, what they can't, you know?
Yeah. For him, it was a cell phone. He had his cell phone out.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
So, you know, right. And so that was the thing. I'm like, it could have been worse.
Now, is this his first year of middle school or his last year of elementary school? Because sixth grade can go either way.
Yeah. So it's his first year of middle school.
Oh, that's gutsy.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought if he was ruling the roost in school, I get it. But for it, wow. Yeah.
Did you ever get sent to the principal's office? I never. Ever in my life got sent to the principal's office.
And there's nobody in this room that will be shocked by that statement.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, I went to the principal's office so much. So much.
For what?
I was in the principal's office forever. I mean, they invented in-school suspension, I'm pretty sure, at my elementary school because of me being disruptive. I mean, listen, I grew up at a time where essentially they didn't know what ADHD was, right? So if you were up there always telling jokes or disrupting the class or whatever, they just didn't know what to do with you at that point. Yeah. So that's how it started, but I think the first time that I got sent to the principal's office in high school was I was big in student government. I love to give speeches. I didn't actually love to run any of the clubs or do any of that stuff. But
such a real surprise.
That's it. I just love to do the speeches things.
Wait a minute. You love to stand up by yourself and just speak at loud levels and have everyone listen?
That's so odd.
That's right. Right. Uh-huh. I mean, if you see how far I've come to even let you guys speak, I mean, that's taken a lot of work, just so you know. But you know what I had was because I ran a bunch of these clubs, I just had a book of passes, and I could just, like, write passes like I was writing scripts like a doctor. So I would get people out of class all the time to work on one thing or another with me. Supposedly, what would we do? Just go hang out in the auditorium.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, that's actually why I got sent to the principal's office the first time. Yeah. And it took me till high school. I was a good kid when I was younger, and then I kind of got a little bit of a wild streak. But they tried to interrogate me. They tried to get information from me. Wait, I got a note written out of school, and I left school early and went off with my friends and did God only knows what.
Okay.
And they caught me and they brought me in and he said, now listen, we want to know who wrote this note. And it was Erica, wasn't it? Erica was my girlfriend at the time. I was like, Erica wrote this note for you. And I was like,
also a student at your school.
Also a student
so
at
she
the school.
She would have went down
exactly.
Too.
Exactly.
Right.
So he goes, listen, there's two ways we can handle this. It was prom season. He goes,
I mean, sounds like,
you know, you could get a nice in-school suspension this Saturday or something, or it could be the Saturday after prom. I mean, it's really up to you at this point.
Wow.
He wanted names.
You know what I realized, and I keep hearing this over and over, is that principals and like the disciplinarians at the schools also are like cops. Like they always are interrogating kids. Like I remember my daughter saying a couple times a principal, like because they knew she was the good girl, they would like put her in a corner and be like, so do you know who did this? Just tell us. And I'm like, that's not fair.
Try to make him turn red. I mean, so it's not cool.
I mean, the obvious answer is loose lips sink ships and snitches get stitches.
Right.
So what did you do?
That's right. What do you guys think I did?
I think you, I mean, you're like young and dumb. You're like, I'll do anything for this girl. So you didn't rat her out.
That is correct.
I like to hope you did the noble thing.
He also I called his bluff. He didn't give me a Saturday after prom.
No. Oh, see, so that worked out.
It worked out.
Right.
2 days back to school. That's how long it took one of my very good friends' sixth grade son to get called to the principal's office.
Sometimes you get popped, man.
He's gotten in trouble for a lot of things before. This time it was just for being on his cell phone, even though the teacher told him to put it away. So I'm like, well, in the grand scheme of things, that was better than the other stuff.
Could be worse.
Yeah. When did you get called to the principal office when you were growing up? And like, what was it for? 1-800-330-9999. Kevin.
Many times. I drew a book up by one of my teachers, and the teacher turned around and saw me doing it. So I got sent to the principal's office for that.
A book?
I threw a textbook up at the, I tried to hit the blackboard, but I hit the teacher.
Either way, you should have been going to the office.
Correct.
Right? Blackboard or teacher, you go to the office for that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Magnus, you got sent to the principal's office for what?
In high school, I was in a band class, and part of being in the class was you had to sign up for, like, text updates. And he was always texting stuff, right? And it would, like, automatically get sent to your phone. And I just kept sending back, like, some rude and nasty things to the guy. And, you know, I didn't ever get caught, so, like, I kept doing it all throughout the year. Then finally, at the end of the year, a dude caught on. I got suspended.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's funny. It's like, what? At first, you're like, you know, you test the waters, right? You get away with it one time. You figure, oh, nobody's paying attention to this type of thing. Then all of a sudden, there's that one day they pull you in, and they've got 32 texts of yours printed out on a piece of paper. And they're like, see this?
And they're all like, eggplants and peaches.
Right.
Maria, why did you get sent to the principal's office?
It was always for dress code. We had this thing where our skirts couldn't be shorter than a certain length, so they'd make us stand there with our hands to our side, and our skirts couldn't be shorter than our fingertips. And mine was always shorter, and I would get sent to the principal's office, and they made me change my PE clothes every single time.
Catholic schoolgirl uniforms.
No, this was a public school.
Really?
Oh, that's cool.
I had a couple girlfriends who went to private school, and they would get in trouble for this, and I'd just be like, just wear it the way they say. Nope.
No,
I used to go to
Catholic school. I used to roll my skirt.
Right, had to roll the skirt.
Yeah, with my knee highs. Like, it was basically Britney Spears circa 1996.
It feels inappropriate.
Right. Aria, why'd you get sent to the principal's office?
You know, I think I just thought I was the funniest kid in class and thought everybody needed to hear all of my jokes, and most of my teachers didn't really appreciate it.
Were they dirty jokes?
Not typically. They were mostly just distracting a lot, I think.
Yeah. You got to be careful, Anna. You know, I feel like I told you about my algebra teacher that he waited for my friend. So
no.
I had a friend that used to relentlessly tear on this teacher. And he was a big guy, like a guy who would work out, an athletic guy, this teacher. But he was hard of hearing. So he would think that the teacher couldn't hear him, or if he was slow or whatever, he would just, you know, he would leave it alone. 4 years, he basically terrorized his teacher. My friend graduated. And after, like, I don't know, a year or two of being out, one day he came out of work from a restaurant, and that teacher was waiting out back for him.
Get out of here.
Yes! And he wanted to, like, fight him. And he had a couple of his friends with him.
That's crazy.
It was absolutely nuts.
So what happened?
They didn't fight. I mean, he went back inside all those times he had talked all this junk about him. I mean, he wasn't actually going to fight him because, again, the guy was big.
Oh, yeah.
But you got to be careful. That's it.
Yeah,
right? You're telling all these jokes. Mr. Shauna, the ghost of Mr. Shauna will come for you.
It's funny how now you wouldn't really think it's cool, like the guy that shows up and has jokes to tell.
Mm.
But growing up, I remember, like, there were jokes. People would tell jokes in class. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, it was like a thing.
Yeah, well, not in Mr. Shauna's class. Not anymore, anyways.
Well, no. Right, because he'll beat you out back when you're 24 years old and you're just, like, living your life and totally forgot about it.
I'm not even kidding. My friend kind of deserved it. Should have got him.
Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. And today it's all about Adalia. Hit Keaton, Florida yesterday morning. 125-mile-per-hour winds. Category 3 hurricane. Flooding, trees down. Here's a news report that was happening live when the power cut out.
So things potentially concerning there. We just lost power now. You just saw the power go out. If you can't see me, I apologize.
It's so funny because he sounds so excited.
I mean, it's been my experiences is that you don't show up with your news gear and plug into the outlet at wherever you're covering, right? I mean, if you're out in the van or whatever, especially during a hurricane, you've got some battery packs, I'm guessing.
I know we say it all the time, but it's my favorite whenever there's like a big storm and they're out there in a right. canoe on the street and then somebody just walks by and they're like, hey,
right?
why are you in a canoe, buddy?
I mean, not to minimize what's going on.
No,
I mean, obviously, there's
not.
Been quite a bit of flooding and yes. it's dangerous and some areas are completely inundated. But yes, the weather coverage of storms. I mean, ever since this started, a couple decades ago, they're just looking to be at the tip of it every time.
They're like, here's a massive life-threatening hurricane. You go out there with the camera.
Right, right. Get out there on the, can you get closer to the surf? Get out there on the jetty. Right.
The storm crossed over to Georgia as a tropical storm, and then it hit the Carolinas before moving out to sea. While it was in Charleston, a tornado sprouted up from it, flipped a car. The video of it is wild.
I saw that.
Passengers are okay. Thankfully, just minor injuries. I couldn't even believe it.
That's absolutely nuts.
And then you always hear, like, the nutty stories that come out of these hurricanes as well. And there was one. A manatee was filmed eating a family's lawn because it was able to swim so far inland because of the flooding.
Oh, well, I hope he got his way back out.
Yeah, here's the homeowners watching.
It's a manatee eating the grass.
According to them, he's having the time of his life.
Time of his life,
he's
right.
Just, oh, my gosh, look at all this grass. Where am I?
Yeah, poor guy. I hope he made it back to where he was coming from.
I know, me too.
Wow.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three news stories. You only hear about one. Raven picks which one it is. Are you ready for your selection today, Raven?
Go for it.
Number one, man pulled over for driving with massive bull riding shotgun.
What?
Yep.
Okay.
Number two. Woman snuck gun into MLB game inside folds of her belly fat.
Oh, boy.
And number three, police label thief bird bandit after robbing store with parrots on his hat and shoulder.
Yeah, you know, I actually already saw the bird bandit because it immediately pulled me in. So I'm going to go with belly fat gun smuggling. That's what I'll go with.
Okay. A woman snuck into a Chicago White Sox game last weekend by hiding it in the folds of her belly fat.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, the gun accidentally went off and grazed her abdomen and hit another woman in the leg. Everybody is fine, thankfully. Here's one fan that was in the stands during the whole thing.
He had to walk through all the metal detectors. They were going off for people's watches and stuff, and then they, you know, they do a double check and stuff. So I don't know how somebody got in there like that.
Raven, I have selected items from the kitchen.
Okay.
And I want to see if you can successfully conceal these items in your belly fat.
I mean, I'd have to be definitely bent over.
Right. You could bend over.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You would have to walk through security bent over.
Yeah.
And the security guard. But
hard to explain, but okay.
All right. We're going to start with, my Fiber One protein bar.
Okay. Are you going to eat it after?
Yes. I mean, I'm hungry.
All right.
All right. So there's the protein bar.
Yeah.
Let me see you conceal it in your belly fat. Can you successfully conceal it in your belly fat? Oh, my gosh. If you can't conceal that in
your belly, I
can. Your fat is too hard.
It's too spread out?
Yeah. No, it's like you got like dad bod where your belly fat is too round and hard. Give me that. I'll show you how a real woman does this. I'll put this right in my belly fat right here.
No, but you got to be able to take a step with it.
I could do it if I try my heart.
You
look.
Look
at that.
You got to be able to take a step with it.
I can walk with it. All right, next.
Yeah, all right.
I've got packets of ketchup.
What? Packets of ketchup. All right, give me a couple.
There's six packets of ketchup. Yeah. You have to guess. How many can you conceal in your belly fat?
Yeah.
There's only six packets. How many do you think you can do?
I mean, I don't know. Give me three.
All right. Put the packets of ketchup in your belly fat.
What if I put it in my belly button?
Let me see. No, you can't.
You
don't have good fat for concealing things. You know what you got to do? You got to be like me. You got to have a couple babies. It's a little looser. If you have a couple babies, it's a little looser. Yeah. It's easier to conceal things in there.
How many do you think you can get in there?
I can get all six in. Give me them back. Give me them back. Guaranteed I could get all six of these packets in my belly fat. Ready?
This is a flattering conversation we're having here.
Oh, look at this.
Walk.
No
Walk
problem.
With it again.
No problem. No problem.
That actually works better than the fiber bar. All right.
This last one's going to be real tough.
We're going to add this to the list of things maybe we shouldn't have done on video. All right. Maybe not. Right. Okay. All right.
I've got the Smucker's Concord Grape
There's
jam.
No way I can do that. I mean, there's
it
no way.
It's a glass jar.
Yeah. There's no
way.
I mean, how?
I bet you I can do it.
Yeah. There's no way I can do this. Sugar-free Smuckers, by the way. What's the point?
Oh, come on.
There's no way.
I'm trying to get rid of the belly fat, Raven. You know that.
There's no way.
No. Wait, you think I could do it?
Oh, if I was on the side, no. If I can fold myself in a 90-degree angle and hold it between my belly fat and my hip.
I just can't move. I don't know if I could walk through security, but I could definitely get it in the rolls of my belly fat.
Come on.
No, that's too big.
No, that
it's
one's
too big.
All right. There's got to be a limit to the talent level that we have here. But, you know, right. So a gun, no. Ketchup packets, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you could do that. Mm-hmm.
It is back to school time.
Mm.
Yeah, if the kids haven't gone back already, they will be going over the next week or so. And it's a busy time. And a lot of times it's a nerve-wracking time because kids get nervous about going back to school. And so do parents.
Well,
right?
Of course. Right. I mean, yeah. If your child is going to be struggling with something, then you're going to be upset about it. You're going to be worried about it.
So we went around and we asked a whole bunch of kids advice for your first day back to school. Or advice in general for back to school.
My name is Mackenzie and I'm looking forward to fourth grade. I didn't have an open mind with my teacher for a little bit, but then once I opened it a little bit, I saw the good things about her. And when you don't have an open mind, you don't see the good things in your teacher.
Wow. I mean, that's some like big advice for a fourth grader.
Right.
I mean, fourth grade, I was calling my teacher Scarburator, Mrs. Scarb.
Scarburator?
Yeah, we called her the Scarburator.
Why?
I don't know. It's just what we did, you know. I don't know if that was very open-minded of us to do that.
It's not nice. It's really bad when you have a teacher you don't love.
Yeah.
Luckily, you don't hear about that often. Usually, kids like really like their teachers. Knock on wood. Everybody, knock on wood.
I had some good teachers over the years. I had some bad ones too, though. Yeah.
Have fun and be awesome. That's my advice.
It's good advice.
Right. I mean, if you have fun and you be awesome, then the rest should probably work itself out on its own.
Here's some advice for back to school. Be nice, try and make some new friends, and don't do anything bad. You might get in trouble.
And you might get in trouble if you do something bad.
Yeah, don't do anything bad. Try mm-hmm. and make some friends. That's good advice.
Mm-hmm.
Don't walk around with your phone in your pocket because you're going to go to the principal's office.
Walk around with your phone in your pocket, I guess, for the older kids. You know, the phone thing is interesting because some schools allow it and some schools do not. And, like, figuring out the rules. And that's got to be a tough one for teachers, too, because it's like a whole new world having to deal with all these phones. And the kids get younger and younger with them.
Well, I feel like that's the thing, right? I mean, I feel like before they were basically outlawed or banned everywhere. You know, you could maybe have it on you or in your bag for emergencies. And even that was debatable at a lot of places. As you say, certain schools have their own rules. On the other hand, I feel like that's the world today.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to kind of learn to deal with it. So I figure that that's part of something they have to incorporate in the classroom at this point.
My older daughter started high school and she's allowed to have her phone all the time.
Yeah.
She texts me nonstop. And it's so weird, like from like a parent's point of view.
Right.
That all of
it's
a sudden.
Like, aren't you doing something?
Yeah. I think it's because she's nervous and it's the first week.
Sure.
You know, so she just like wants to reach out and she doesn't know anybody at the school yet. So I think it's just like a comfort thing.
Yeah.
But it's so funny to see texts from her during the school day. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's odd.
Don't be worried about not knowing the questions that the teachers give you because they will help you figure them out. And don't be worried about not having any friends in your class. You will make new ones.
That's sweet. And it's true. You will make friends. Maybe not right off the bat, but you will soon.
Yeah, if you keep a positive attitude, that's big.
Yep.
My advice is to always get the fried dough from lunch. Have a good year!
Get the fried dough from lunch.
We never had fried dough at my lunch. Are you serious?
I mean, I would also like the
that
fried
sounds like
dough.
Like a carnival.
Yeah.
Don't be nervous. You just need to get through this day and then you can go back home.
You just got to get through this day, then you can go back home. Campbell, I tell myself that every morning.
I was going
to
say.
Every morning when I get out of the car to go to work, I tell myself, I get to go home. The sooner you start, the sooner you finish, and then you can go home.
Oh, that's what you meant when you said that out loud. I get it.
The most awkward place you got hit on. Raven, producer John was just telling me about something that happened last weekend. What went down?
Yeah, I got tagged in somebody's Instagram stories. Somebody that I don't know. Somebody that I am not seeing. And it was like a pretty blatant attempt to flirt with me. At least I took it as such. Let me explain what happened, right? So I hosted an event. Somebody, I guess, saw me. They had all these like model pictures, these like sexy looking pictures. And I got tagged in like a bunch of them. They posted them up to the stories and they like tagged me specifically. Not even like minimizing my name down in the corner, like big. Like,
wait,
hey,
so let me understand here. Right. These model photos right. are of this other individual, but not of you.
Of this person.
Because I've got to see person. John's modeling photos if they exist.
Oh, listen. Raven, so, you're not ready for it, my friend. You're not ready.
So somebody else is posting their thirst trap photos.
Yeah.
But they're tagging you in them.
And tagging me in them. And like I said, my name isn't like minimized down in the corner. It's like big. It's like, hey, John Kamal, check all of this out. And I was like, huh. Like, I actually had that thought to myself. I was like, do I repost it? Is it rude to not repost it?
You do not repost
right?
that,
I did not.
John.
Yeah,
no.
I did not.
But, well, I mean, was she pretty? Like, were you, like, into it?
I mean, she was an attractive person.
So what happened?
I just kind of ignored it and let it go. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know if that's something I'm trying to do right now.
Well, I mean,
you've given me some grief about the year it's been for me. So
there's
feel like
too many girls. I told you, you were dating many girls.
Well, I mean, I think there's something to be said about the fact that, you know, she made a public play.
Right.
A private play would have been different, would have been received differently. You know
exactly.
what I mean? This is a public play.
Yeah.
It puts a note on you. And you haven't even decided to do that. It's not like you're entertaining the relationship, but it's publicly almost putting a tag on you. Dibs, if you will.
I think the most awkward place you got hit on, being hit on social media publicly like that, where everybody's seeing that, is definitely a strange thing. I was trying to think, the strangest place I got hit on, I don't get hit on anymore. Like,
you must
ever.
At events and stuff like that occasionally.
I think I'm so oblivious. I don't know. I live in this little bubble world where I'm just like a crazy mom running around. I'll never forget teaching fitness classes up till a couple years ago. And I was teaching at this gym. And I never wore my wedding rings when I was working out or when I was teaching my classes. I used to teach Zumba and boot camp. Mm. And one of the young guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember
that.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Help
yeah.
John.
One of the young guys came up to me when I was like doing the checkout. And he was like, you want to do something? And I looked at him. I'm like, do what? Yeah. Yeah. And he was like, I don't know, like, go out. And I go out where? I'm not kidding. John, this was like 3 years ago.
She's like, I came with a drink.
Yeah,
like,
I did not understand what he was saying. He could not have been older than 19 years old.
This was the smoothie guy, right? He wanted to make you the smoothies, too. He was like, he was offering to make your smoothie.
And then he was like, oh, I can make you a smoothie. I was like, dude, like, I was like, I am almost old enough to be your mother, you know? Like,
of course.
So strange
sure.
to even say that.
Sure. I got to tell you, though, Anna, Zumba, I mean, I don't know. I don't know a lot about those classes, but there's not a lot of intense weightlifting. Feels like you could leave your wedding ring on for that class.
No,
it's
no,
just something that, I don't
listen,
know.
No, it's because of the clapping. Because the clapping would give me blood
yeah.
clots in
no,
my hands.
That's a real. That's a real
thing.
That's torture. I'm
that
sure.
That is a real
I'm sure
thing.
She was just trying to keep her options open. I mean, nobody wants to pay the premiums for those smoothies.
Where's the most awkward place you got hit on? 1-800-330-9999. Producer John got hit on online, very publicly. Tagged him in a suggestive photo, if you know what I mean. Can you beat that? Sabrina.
The subway in New York City during rush hour.
Hmm.
I mean, is it so awkward, right? I mean, everybody's mm-hmm. riding the train. I feel like it's busy. It's awkward if you definitely don't want to talk to somebody.
Right, and that's pretty much what I'm putting out there. And what this man said was so odd anyway. He looked at me and he said, I can tell you're a good person.
Are you?
And I didn't say anything.
Everybody's definition,
sure.
sliding scale, right, right.
Right.
But you didn't say anything.
No, I didn't say anything. And he said, I can tell why. And he pointed at my backpack. And he said, you're a good person because of this. He explained nothing more beyond that. And then he followed it up with, do you have a phone?
Yeah, I mean, don't talk to me.
No, right, no, that's how you know you have, like, that's a person you have to stay away from.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
like some, you
yeah.
know, there's some hiccups right there. I mean, it's like, if you've got a unique and weird technique you think that works for picking people up, you better get to the punchline pretty quick, right?
Sarah, strangest place you ever got hit on.
Hi, so I was in line in Chipotle, and the line gets really long. A guy got in line behind me, and he was really kind of cute. And so, like, we started talking, and... you know, line's so slow. And I'm like, I hope he asks for my number. And he did. And like, we get up to, you know, the station where they ask what you want. So I'm getting my bowl made and I get the white rice
And he's like, you really should watch your carbs and get the brown rice. And I was like, ick.
Right.
What?
Before we leave, he's, yeah.
And then he screwed it up.
He screwed it up big time. Don't mess with my carbs. Like, this is my...
But what man in his right mind would, like, you know, actually get somewhere with a woman and then start critiquing what she's ordering?
I mean, the first time.
For himself.
What yes. a whack job.
Wait, it gets better. And then, like, so we're leaving, and, like, I'm like, now I'm thinking I maybe not won't pick up the phone. And he's, like, is watching my feet. I have flip-flops on. And he's like, what are your thoughts about, like, maybe changing that to pink polish?
Like, oh.
He's a weirdo.
Yeah,
he's a weirdo.
He also likes feet.
He's a weirdo. He likes feet. And brown rice. It's a weird guy.
If you catch that guy, by the way, anybody doing that,
call the police.
You should let people know.
Yeah, authorities.
Seriously.
All right, Anita, your turn. Strangest place you ever got hit on?
Actually, in an empty apartment I was trying to rent out when I was a property manager. And I just thought, well, what, this guy is hitting on me and I'm interviewing him to live on this property where I would be his manager and his neighbor. It was really odd.
That is awkward. What do you do in that situation? You probably don't give him the apartment.
I hit on my property manager.
Did you really?
Yeah. When I lived in Massachusetts, I was probably, 28 years old. She was gorgeous.
What did she say? What was her reaction?
She was flirty. She let me sign the lease, and she never let me call her. Right. But you know what? When I had to break that lease to move, she let me out of the lease with no repercussions, which was really nice. I don't know if it's because I made a pass at her.
I don't think so. It's probably just she would have done it anyway.
I mean, I was just kind of flirty. I wouldn't say, you know, hitting, making a pass. It's all, you know, hard to find. But
Anita, what did you do?
He did not get the apartment.
Oh. One couple.
He just doesn't seem to understand why should I go to this wedding now.
Just say no.
One problem.
I want to see her get married. I want to be there for her.
Make an excuse. She can't go and, you know, call it a day.
You decide the outcome.
It's so awkward.
It's Couples Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. So Dylan and Shannon, what's going on? Shannon, let's start with you.
So we our son just went off to college. He's a freshman, 18 years old, fresh out of the house. And we honestly both have come to the agreement that we cannot stand his roommate. Like, he smokes out of the window. He's drunk almost literally every night. I feel like he's a super bad influence on our son. I think we should complain to the school to have them separated. But the thing is, like, our son's super embarrassed because this kid is kind of like the cool kid at school. But we pay over $48,000 a year. Like, if we have to step in, we need to separate this kid. I need to contact the school. I need to get our son out of there before he goes down a bad road. Mm.
So this is your son's dorm mate. I got that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's literally a menace, like, just drunk all the time, smoking all the time. Like, I'm afraid he's going to get our son kicked out.
I mean, how do you know that?
Hasn't school been going on like a week and a half?
All right. Still time to make changes.
Well, we've been visiting. We visited, you know, during move-in week, and our son had mentioned something to us as well, but he was drunk when we got there, smoking out of the window.
Dylan, what do you think about this?
Well, you know, look, I want our son to do well in school, and I want him to not be distracted by someone drinking and all that as well, but I just feel like he's 18, and, you know, we can't micromanage him, especially at college like this, that he's just going to have to, you know, get along with his roommate. You know, we have to trust that he won't engage in that behavior. He'll work on his schoolwork. I don't want to embarrass him. I don't think that we need to get the school involved. I think he'll be all right.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but isn't this like a thing that you would talk to the RA or whatever about, right? Like, isn't this something that you'd make the RA aware of if you're in the dorms, Anna?
If you're a student.
Right.
That's why you have an RA for the most part,
yeah.
Depending on the school and whatever. But I could also understand, like, you don't want to be that roommate either. You get a reputation. I mean, I could think off the top of my head the people that had reputations for being difficult on our floor.
Yeah,
so,
for smoking and drinking or for calling their mom? Because that's also a reputation you'll get,
you gonna, I mean, you're going to snitch? It's
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, I see both sides here very much so.
Yeah.
If it was my child and they were in that situation, I would be all kinds of mad. you know, especially footing a bill like that when your child is there to learn and have a positive experience and that's who they're living with.
Yeah.
But in Dylan's defense, he's an adult now. Like they said to us, we had freshman orientation for my daughter high school. You have to let them learn how to do things on their own. So if he doesn't want to, maybe that's your signal to back up. And you know, my daughter's 14, yours is 18, your son's 18.
I think that, you know, when they're living it, right, you have to kind of trust them in that regard. But I mean, I share your discomfort with the whole situation. I get it. I wouldn't be happy either. You know, I totally get it. I just don't know whether or not I'd be calling somebody or notifying somebody.
I mean, a random email, maybe a random tip-off, maybe I don't know.
That has a specific room and a specific student's name attached to it. There's nothing random about that. There's nothing anonymous about that. I mean, it's obvious to figure out who it is. But
well, are the administrators going to know that, or are they just going to handle it? I don't know. It's a slippery slope, and I see what the audience has to say. If your child had a roommate that you believed was a bad influence, but they were a freshman in college, would you get involved?
1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court. Whose side are you on?
I don't know. Do you get involved or do you not get involved? You drop off your freshman son at college and you don't like his roommate. Right off the bat, you're like, this guy's a bad apple. He's drinking, he's smoking, and, you know, your son admits, yeah, he does all those things. But your son doesn't want to say anything either because he doesn't want to look like the snitch at college.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a week and a half in. You've been at the school, right? On top of it, he's like, you know, this guy seems to be pretty popular. He's got some friends around the area here. I don't want to be known as the one with the, you know, with the big mouth, basically, speaking up. I mean, listen, this behavior could dissipate. It could relax. He could find himself in trouble in other ways. That's basically Dylan's point. He's like, we just have to let our son be a grown-up at this point. He has to handle it the way that he sees fit. We can encourage him to do it, but we don't need to be the ones that are knocking on somebody's door going, hey, there's a problem.
And mom says, Shannon says, no. We are going to be the ones that knock on the door because mm-hmm. we are paying for our child to go to college and to learn and not to be with this roommate. He needs another roommate. As a parent, would you get involved? 1-800-330-9999. Nick, whose side are you on?
I think I'm on the mother's side. There was an experiment done a few years back where they took 9 good kids and put 1 bad kid in there, hoping the good kids would influence the bad child. And what happened was the bad child corrupted most of the kids in the group. So it might be a good opportunity to get your son out of there because that could influence the rest of his life if this guy gets him hooked on drugs or something stupid. So,
I mean, I would like to see the stats on that. Right? Like that study.
Is the bad apple and the bushel or the bunch or whatever?
I do get it. I do get like you have a bad influence. Me and my college roommate were the complete opposite. And I think that I encouraged her to do more risky things and she encouraged me to be safer. I believe my mom thanked her for keeping me alive at the end. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. You drop your freshman son off at college and, you know, everybody's excited. And then all of a sudden you meet his roommate and you immediately don't like the roommate. Guy smells like booze. Son admits that he smokes in their room, their dorm room. Mm. All kinds of bad stuff you've been hearing for the last week and a half. Do you get involved as a parent or do you say he's got to take care of this himself?
This is the problem right now with Dylan and Shannon. So Shannon says, listen, we've got to get involved. We should let the school know that this is a problem. The kid is drinking. He's smoking out the window of their room. Obviously, this is against the rules and it's unpleasant and we don't want it to affect our kid. But Dylan says, you know, listen, he's a grown up. This is part of going to college, dealing with other people. You're not going to like everything that they're doing. And he has to figure out how to actually deal with it.
Yeah, but if you're footing the bill, what do you, that's tough. What would you do? 1-800-330-9999. Claire, it's you and your sister. Whose side are you guys on?
I'm on the dad's side. My sister and I think that if the kid wanted to deal with it, that he would already have gone to the RA about it. And he's an adult now and be able to make his own decisions. And you guys, like the parents just have to trust that he's going to do the right thing.
Also, like if he, like he's 18 now, and if he was going to go down like a bad slope, he would be able to control that. If he feels so strongly about it, he's going to be able to make sure that that doesn't happen to him and stuff like that. So,
hey, Arielle, whose side are you on?
So I've been in a similar experience when I was in college, and I just want to say that your son should be able to handle it. He really needs to work on his own and his own voice and advocate for himself and talk to his roommate. And if things don't get better, he should go to the RA and work on it on his own, even though it's so hard as a parent to step back.
Hey, Meredith, whose side are you on?
definitely leaning toward the mom side. And see, my husband works at the university, and I know that the university he works is first off a dry campus, so you can't even drink on campus. They're obviously underage. And smoking, you're not allowed to smoke in the dorms, period. So there is definitely a way to get around this without their son ever even being mentioned. You could just go to the Res Life. You could go to Student Affairs. You can even go to the RA and say, I don't want to get involved. Because if he's smoking, everyone's smelling that. There's no way no one's smelling that. And they could, you know, get involved and either move him. He might even, but he would probably get kicked out.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Dylan, our audience agreed with you today. You got to back up. Your son is an adult now. He can make decisions on his own, and he either needs to handle it with the roommate or with the RA or somebody in authority, but it's not your positions to do anything at this point.
I totally agree. I think they chose right. You know, we just got to let him make some decisions.
You know, Shannon, I get it. It's uncomfortable. He's off at school. It's the first time, and it's unpleasant. And, of course, you guys are paying so much for it. On the other hand, this is a situation where, you know, I mean, he's got to stand up for himself and deal with this. And he may not want to do that the first week or two. He may want to get to know the roommate a little bit more and then just say, hey, listen, man, this isn't cool. We can't have this any day or whatever. Or, you know, take it to the RA or whatever. I mean, people do switch rooms. It's not the end of the world. So.
Right. Yeah,
I think that they, you know, they might be able to figure it out in a couple weeks. But if you jump in right away this early, the beginning of the school year, I just don't think it's going to get the result that you really want for your son.
Mm.
I mean, I agree with that. I just feel like sometimes we need to step in. We got to protect him. He's still young.
If it becomes a situation where your son feels like it's dangerous, or you feel like it's dangerous for your son, if you see his behavior change, then that's something else. But right now, it's just unpleasant, you know? It's an annoyance, really.
Well, if you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven jackpot is $3,000 thanks to Sherwin-Williams. Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 30% on paints and stains September 1st through the 11th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. All right, Kathy, you ready to play today?
I am.
All right, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it, Kathy. Good luck.
Okay. Raven is walking out of here. That big studio door is going to close, and he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one, Kathy. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to do it?
Yes.
All right, I want to give away some money. Let's do it. Number one, the top 3 tourist traps in the world are all in the U.S., according to USA Today. Number 3 is Calico Ghost Town in California. Number 2 is the Salem Witch Museum in Massachusetts. And number 1 was the Four Corners Monument that connects Arizona, Utah, Colorado, and what other state?
New Mexico.
Number 2, the Breaking Bad cast had a reunion on the picket line this weekend. Bryan Cranston played what infamous character in Breaking Bad?
Walter White.
Number 3, Jurassic Park will be retold in Lego form for an animated special on Peacock. As established in the original Jurassic Park movie and the book, why can't the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park reproduce?
Because they're all male.
Number 4, Sam Asghari has made it Instagram official after he unfollowed his estranged wife. Who is his estranged wife?
Britney Spears.
And number 5, Selena Gomez facing backlash after posting about her show Only Murders in the Building, with some saying it's a violation of the strike. What actor plays the newest dead guy, Ben Glenroy, in season 3?
Oh, no. I'll take a guess. John Cleese.
All right. Let me bring Raven back in. Okay. Oh, man. Okay. 3 out of 5 for Kathy.
Not great. Not terrible. It's $3,000. Here we go.
Number 1, top 3 tourist traps in the world, according to USA Today. Number 3, Calico Ghost Town in California.
Mm.
Number 2, Salem Witch Museum in Massachusetts. I've been there. I enjoy that place.
You told me you liked it.
Yeah. And number 1 is the Four Corners Monument that connects Arizona, Utah, Colorado, and what other state?
Arizona, Utah, Colorado, you said?
Yep.
New Mexico.
New Mexico is correct. Number 2, Breaking Bad cast had a reunion this past weekend on the picket line. Now, Bryan Cranston played what infamous character in Breaking Bad?
Walter White.
That is correct. Number three, Jurassic Park will be retold in Lego form for an animated special on Peacock.
Okay.
As established in the original Jurassic Park movie and book, why can't the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park reproduce?
They deny them a chromosome. They're all girls.
That's right. They're all female. Kathy, you said male. Ugh!
Yeah.
Number four, Sam Asghari has made it Instagram unofficial after he unfollowed his estranged wife. Who is his estranged wife?
Britney Spears.
That's right. And number five, Selena Gomez facing backlash after posting about her show, Only Murders in the Building, with some saying it's a violation of the strike. What actor plays the newest dead guy, Ben Glenroy, in season three?
I'm just going to take a shot. I haven't watched the show, but I know that he was added to the cast this season. Is Paul Rudd?
Paul Rudd is correct.
Boom.
Yeah, Paul Rudd and Meryl Streep are in this season, and it's really great. All right, I'm sorry, Kathy. He beat you 5-3 today. That's going to get you an Anne on Raven t-shirt.
This is Kathy. I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $3,100 tomorrow, Anna.
And remember, next week, it's Kids Beat Raven. So if you have kids that want to play, they'll be playing at an earlier time for different prizes. You can sign them up at annaandraven.com.